the best get-together.
Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Friday. And we have hit the end of the week. We're going to have a fun time today. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, is going to join us today. Also, Guy Gadowski, Penn State men's ice hockey coach, will join us today as well. Also, Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times, talking about Penn State wrestling. So we got a lot going on today. And Chris Soleri from the Lansing State Journal will be joining us to talk about the showdown between Iowa and Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game. That's all coming up during today's show. So we're looking forward to that very, very much. We're going to get things rolling here with Nate Cobbler from the Center Daily Times. Talk a little Penn State wrestling as we get you ready for that. And they've got the Nittany Lion Open coming up this weekend. And Nate Cobbler now joins us. Nate, welcome. Great to have you with us along the way.
To this point, any surprises to you in covering this team?
I mean, not really. I would have to say there was like a little surprise to see Nico, Megalutis, Jimmy Goldbaum come out and lose the matches that they did, but you can't fault them for the guys that they lost to.
No, you can't. You can't at all. What guy, from what you can see so far, what kind of balance is there in the sport right now? Is it really top heavy, or is there a little bit more balance than we realize?
Well, you could say it's Big Ten top heavy.
Right. Sure. You know,
the rankings just come out recently, and there's four teams in the top five, with Nebraska taking over Michigan's spot that was there before. So it's Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, and Oklahoma State and Nebraska there in the top five. But overall, the conference as a whole has nine teams ranked in the top 25, and eight of those nine are in the top 15.
Right. Nate, Iowa, when they wrestled Oklahoma State, I mean, they got lucky because the weekend they did it, the weather was fine. The next weekend, it turned out it snowed. But they drew over 42,000 at Kinnick Stadium for that. What do you think that did for the sport overall?
I mean, it brings a lot more notice to the sport, Steve, whenever you take a chance on something like that to put it inside your football stadium. You know, you're taking a big risk of, oh, man, are we going to be able to sell enough tickets to affect the sales, the facilities for having the things running. And, you know, they may have had heaters running by those mats because, you know, it was nice, sort of like today, still a little chilly, but, you know, to cover all those costs. And then for it to pull off the way it did, you know, sort of gives other big-time programs like Penn State or, you know, any Oklahoma states to go and maybe possibly take that same idea and put it into their football stadium.
Cale always gives a very even-keeled perspective on where his team is. This obviously is a process. Every season is a process that comes with it. How does he feel they have done so far in the initial stages of the process?
You know, it's kind of funny to describe it that way because that's exactly how he, you know, that's exactly how he talked. He said, you know, the team has been meeting expectations and sometimes exceeding those expectations. Just because of the way that some of those guys are wrestling, especially the freshmen, Jason Knowles, he's come out and he's put on, a takedown clinic, so to speak, in his four matches where he has 23 takedowns in four matches. But in the Stanford match alone, he had 11 in just over two periods of wrestling.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what they've been able to do. You mentioned Jimmy Goulibon. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit mentally to go from being the hunter to being the hunted. Is it taking a little bit for him to kind of change gears in that? Because, I mean, he'll come into a match and he'll be the kind of guy that now would be somebody you're trying to knock off along the way.
Yeah, I mean, Kale had contributed and said to us that, you know, Jimmy is a very strong guy for his weight class. And with that being said, is he was so used to when he was wrestling the smaller weight classes there that he would just overpower the guys. Well, now his strength is still a strength, but it's also a little bit of a weakness because now he has to work on his technique a little bit more to go through and, you know, be able to finish off those strong shots that he's used to making and just overpowering through them, where now he's have to be a little more technical and able to finish off those shots.
What's he looking for from the Nittany Lion Open this weekend?
It's a big opportunity for, you know, a lot of the guys to keep wrestling because, you know, they haven't wrestled in about 2 weeks now live because,
right,
you know, they were out in California there and then they come back. But, you know, it's just an opportunity to get the guys back into, game mode, I guess, so to speak. So they can be ready for that first BJC Dole, which is coming up here in 2 weeks. So, you know, he feels that, it's going to be a lot of tough competition because there are several schools that are bringing their starting lineups. I think when I looked at it last, they can change, but I think when I looked at it last, I think Lehigh might be bringing their full roster. Rutgers is bringing some guys. So it's going to be a good tournament, but I tell you one thing to keep in mind if anybody goes is to keep an eye on the 165-pound weight class. Because Kale has said they're just so deep at that class, and there's a good possibility where you could see a Final Four of all Penn State wrestlers.
Right. The depth there is unbelievable at this stage. What's his feeling been about Zane Rutherford getting back into the groove after sitting out last year, you know, and doing some other wrestling, some freestyle wrestling? How's he felt about his transition back into the college game?
He feels, you know, Zane's done a really nice job. He equivocated it to him being a hammer in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, Zane's come in and he's had to follow up some matches where, you know, Penn State would have just, you know, they just lost a match and, you know, the opposing crowd's getting into it and he's actually sort of come in and just shut it down and quieted the crowd back down. So, you know, the opposing team can't get that confidence and, you know, everything like that. So, you know, he looks at Zane as the hammer in that lineup to, you know, quiet things down whenever it needs to be.
Morgan McIntosh has a deep weight class that he wrestles in nationally as well. When you've watched him and also when Kale's commented, what have been the respective thoughts?
And, you know, Morgan himself, he's even said that, you know, he's really worked on his top game and he feels very comfortable with it. So,
right,
in that sense, you could get a feel that he's pretty much an all-around wrestler. Where sometimes, in the past, he hasn't been able to maybe be as dominant in some spots, but now he feels, you know, he's a good all-around wrestler. And he's just wrestling. He's going out there wrestling, enjoying his senior year, and. Yeah, I expect big things out of him, and I'm sure Kale does too.
Well, we all know what the heavyweight situation is. I mean, how is that playing out right now? I mean, he gives up a lot of weight when he's out there. We also know he's a great competitor in the football field.
Yeah, Jan right now, he's out of wrestling right now. He got a little banged up in their match against Cal State Bakersfield, and then, of course, didn't wrestle against Stanford, but they came back and Kale said that he had to have his knee scoped a little bit. Nothing major. It's just, just some cleaning up in his knee. He said that, you know, it's nothing new with Jan. It's a historical thing that he's had with when he's been wrestling in the past. So it's just something that, you know, he had to get taken care of now instead of later on down the road when, you know, Penn State might really need him and they won't have him. So he's going to be out for, you know, probably, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks here. So we'll see where he is after that.
How does he want to handle it? Does he just give away the points at heavyweight, or does he look around campus and say, that's a large person, come on in?
No, I think a lot of it's just going to depend on, you know, the matches. You know, if it's something where they need to, you know, they need to wrestle, they may have, you know, they may have somebody in there that they can wrestle up. He said that, you know, this weekend that a couple of the guys on the team have been thinking that, you know, they're going to go and wrestle heavyweights at the Nittany Lion Open this weekend, just, you know, so they can get an idea of how they can contribute to the team. But he said, you know, that's a good thing to think. If, you know, if you're not a starter in the lineup, you know, how's the way that you can contribute? So I think it's going to go on a match-on-match basis, and, you know, where the scoring is at the time when that match comes up. You know, if they don't need to, you know, if they don't have to wrestle it, they might not. But if they do, then they might. It's hard to say.
The Wisconsin dual meet coming up is December 13th in the Jordan Center. How anxious are you just to see that, see wrestling get back into the PJC again? It may not be Iowa, but it's still going to be a great crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be a good match, too, because there again, you know, Wisconsin is another one of those Big Ten teams ranked in the top 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, me, myself, I've wanted to go to one of those, and now that I'm going to get to work at it and, you know, experience it as, you know, working, it's going to be, I can't wait for it, just to see what the atmosphere is actually like. I get a sense from just the atmosphere being in Rec Hall there for the Lock Haven match at the beginning of the year. I can only imagine what it's going to be when it's, you know, two or three times greater than what it already is.
You mentioned that the fact is Penn State's the show anywhere it goes, but they also have the ability to put on a little show within the show. How impressed are you by the presentation of how Penn State presents wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the best in the country. You know, I don't want to sound biased or anything like that, but when you're putting out some of the top wrestlers in the country and they're in competing with one another in the wrestling room, you're going to end up having that. And just, you know, for instance, like I said earlier about Jason Nolf, he's going out there and he's putting on, you know, he's got 23 takedowns in four matches, you know, that's averaging just under six a match. You know, that's some guy that he's going out there and his mentality is, I'm going to go out there and score as many points as I can, and if you can't keep up, then so be it. So, but I mean, just how the guys can wrestle the way they do, you know, they can scramble around. You know, Jan Johnson, just for being as early as he is just into the year with that first match he had against Lockhaven, his scrambling abilities were just unbelievable. And then you got your usual guys like Morgan McIntosh and Zane Rutherford and Nico Mangalutis. But one guy, you know, that doesn't get a whole lot of attention is Matt McCutcheon.
Yes.
And he's just going to continue to be a good wrestler than what he already is. So, you know, that's one person to keep an eye on. He came on quietly last year and ended the year pretty strongly than the NCAAs, and I expect big things out of him this year, too. He's just going under the radar.
Cale Sanderson is a no-nonsense, no-ego. You would never know in a million years in talking to him that he was 169-0. You'd never know he'd won national championships as a wrestler, a gold medal, coaching national team. You'd never know any of that. He has no ego at all and no pretenses about him. Do his wrestlers follow his lead in this process? Are they very much, do they take on his lead and his personality when you talk to them?
Yeah, I mean, they're all very humbled. You know,
yeah.
You can see that with Cale, like you said. He's not very, you know, oh, look at me. I'm a four-time NCAA champion, and I didn't lose a single match in my college career. You know,
You'd never know it.
Yeah, you would never know it at all. And that's what a lot of these guys are. I mean, you talk to, like I said, Ms. Matt McCutcheon, you would never know that he had the year that he would have had last year, let alone the start of the year he's having this year. But, you know, all these guys are real humble. They don't talk, you know, bad about one another. It's always about the team. So, and that, you know, that all falls back to Cale and the way he presents himself, the way, you know, he presents himself to his team.
Nate, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times, covers the team as the beat writer. They have the Nittany Lion Open coming up this weekend. That will take place at Rec Hall. Then, next weekend, Sunday, December 13th, they are back in the Bryce Jordan Center when they take on Wisconsin. Part of the BJ Duel Series this year. They'll have two of them this year. And that will be on Sunday the 13th against Wisconsin. That should be a pretty good one. Still to come on the show today, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Chris Soleri, Lansing State Journal, on the Iowa-Michigan State matchup, and Penn State men's ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski. They get the Big Ten season going tonight when they take on Michigan State. Nittany Lion men's basketball team tomorrow is Eastern Michigan at noon at the Jordan Center. And the Penn State women's soccer team, College Cup, Final Four, Rutgers tonight at 5. It's on ESPNU. Sealands Grove tonight. State quarterfinals. Kevin will be doing sidelines. If that isn't a reason to tune in, nothing is. Today we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's the weekend. That means it's time to stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Plenty of free parking. Lots of help in a well-laid-out store to get those cases to the car. You want soda? Plenty of that. And plenty of choices. Water. They roast their peanuts fresh and on every day. Plenty of snacks to choose from. The pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Penn State men's ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski. They open the Big Ten season with Michigan State tonight at Pagula. Next half hour will be Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Chris Soleri, Lansing State Journal, to preview Michigan State, Iowa, and the Big Ten championship game. First of all, this day in sports history, in 1943, baseball commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis announced that any club was free to employ black players. In 1964, Major League Baseball established a free agent draft that would take effect in 1965. 1977, the NFL's 5,000th game was played. Also in 1977, Tony Dorsett ran for 206 yards against the Eagles. He became only the third rookie to rush for more than 200 yards in a game. 1987, a remarkable streak came to a close. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was held to only 7 points in a game. He had gone 787 consecutive games in double figures. 1997, John Elway of the Broncos surpassed 3,000 yards for a season, the 12th consecutive season he had done that. Barry Sanders set an NFL record in 1997 as well, when he rushed for over 100 yards in 12 consecutive games. And that is a look at this day in sports history. Time now to bring in Penn State men's ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski. Guy, welcome. Happy holidays to you and that great family of yours.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much.
You just went through a month unbeaten, which has not happened as a Division I program. What were a couple of the common threads during the course of the month that helped you do that?
Well, goaltending, the biggest one. I think our goaltending was phenomenal. I saw something that I think both of our goaltenders, Matt Scoff, Eamon McAdam, were in the top five in the nation for the month of November. So when you have great goaltending, that certainly helps.
In fact, one of seven teams during the month that went unbeaten in the NCAA, and you mentioned starting at that point. You also had three shorthanded goals during the course of the month. What are you doing in special teams, especially in that area, that has allowed you to get a quick change opportunity?
Yeah, it's not necessarily what we are doing. We're still, when we have a PK situation, we're certainly looking, number one, to keep the puck out of the net. But the people that we're using on it in terms of forwards are very, you know, they're offensively gifted as well. Ricky DeRosa and Tommy Olchek get the majority of it, but they're scoring goals as well. And you have Dylan Richard, Eric Scheid, Andrew Sturtz, David Glenn, Kenny Brooks, Chase Berger, guys that have been very successful offensively are also killing penalties. And at times when you get, as we talked about before, with the defensemen that we have on the back, very comfortable moving pucks, you're certainly going to get your chances even though you're killing a penalty.
Right. Let's flip it to the other side now. You on the power play. In fact, Dylan Richard, for example, had his fifth power play goal of the year during the course of the month. What do you like about puck movement and opportunity on your power play at the moment?
Right now, I like the personnel, and obviously it's not just personnel, it's how they gel, but we have three power plays that are going, and I like that because I think it's more difficult to just key on one set formation and practice to kill that. So we have three different looks that have all been successful. And when that happens, it's very difficult to defend.
How much do you use analytics, and do analytics in some ways help you in terms of combinations on the ice?
We do use analytics. We're experimenting with a lot of them. Bill Downey, who is our director of hockey operations, does a lot of work in different areas of analytics, and we do take a lot of information. We don't use all of it. We take a lot of it, and then we basically try to take the information and tailor it to what is important to us. And to answer your question in terms of, I think what you're trying to get at is synergy on the ice. It's not so much that we're looking for synergy with lines or D pairings based on analytics,
okay. But
it certainly allows you to know which players through analytics seem to be more successful in the objectives that you have. So to an extent, it certainly helps team objectives, which you have to put together specific units to be successful, but we don't necessarily use it. These two guys have this, so they're going to be synergy together. I think that's more, it's very hard to quantify synergy and who's going to have certain chemistry with someone else.
Which then brings me to the next part of that. For you as a coach, despite information, analytics, tape, and so forth, how much of this still is based on feel?
A lot. It is definitely an art. I will argue that forever. It's definitely an art, not a science. There's certain statistics that we get that help us in our decisions and our objectives, but it's still an art, and I don't think there's necessarily any rhyme or reason to it. For example, you look at Dylan Richard and Eric Scheid seem to work well together, and I don't know why. It's not that way. Last year, Casey Bailey and Taylor Holstrom worked extremely well together. I'm not sure why, and sometimes it's very hard to, pinpoint why a certain pair will work together. And if you look at the defensive ways, sometimes there's a very big, strong, tough defenseman that works extremely well with someone that moves the puck, and then at other times there's two guys that move the puck to each other really well that work well together. So I really do believe it's an art.
James Franklin has often told his team that 90% of teams beat themselves, penalties, turnovers, and so forth. You're among the least penalized teams in the nation. I know it's been a point of emphasis for you, but how important has it been to you that the players have embraced being disciplined on the ice?
Well, it certainly helps you win, and I think that really the discipline aspect definitely comes from our leadership. We've got tremendous leadership, not just our captains. Certainly starts at the top with David Glenn, but with everybody in the locker room, they've bought into it. Our leaders lead the way, and I think the way we started out, we were actually among the worst in the nation in terms of taking penalties. And I think part of it was because we didn't have any consistent officials. We were using officials from different leagues in the year that we were not in the Big Ten yet. And just getting to know the officials and really getting to know how the officials call the game, I think, is part of it. But then the rest of the credit definitely goes to our leadership.
Over time, Guy, you become a more athletic team as recruiting has continued. Being a more athletic team, which keeps you from being maybe a step behind, has that also helped you from being a team that's not as penalized?
Yeah, when you have the puck, you certainly are a lot less apt to take a penalty, that's for sure. And as we recruit more towards skill and speed and move pucks quicker, we tend to have possession a lot more. And when you have possession, you certainly take a lot less penalties.
Now, we know that the seniors have done a great job for you so far this year. But what about the freshmen? A couple of freshmen for you are making a mark. How impressed have you been by their initial development within the program?
I've been extremely impressed, and I think the seniors, the upperclassmen, have as well, in how they fit into Penn State. They're Penn State guys, and how they fit into Penn State hockey. The upperclassmen have spoke from day one about that they're really good people. They're very respectful. They want to learn. They want to know what Penn State is all about. And that's something we expected. We know that all of them were just very high quality individuals, and every single one of them were comments about what great teammates they were. But in terms of on the ice, we're a little surprised at how much offensive production that we've gotten. Chase Berger leads the way. He leads the team with 9 goals already as a freshman. It's absolutely incredible. Alec Marsh has 12 points, 5 goals. Andrew Sturtz has 6 goals. We've gotten great great play from Vince Pedry and Kevin Kerr and Darian Hamilton. And so we've had a lot of production that we didn't necessarily expect.
Michigan State has a very deceptive record because of all the ranked teams they have played so far. You talked about your goalies, Scoff and McAdam, how well they've played. On a consistent basis, how solid is Jake Hildebrand?
Yeah, he's excellent. I mean, he's a returning Big Ten Player of the Year. He's a fantastic goaltender. He's been a huge part of the success that they've had. They had a great year last year, and he's a big part of that. You have to work really hard to score goals. He's not going to give you anything easy. He hasn't in ever since we've been playing him. So we know that we're going to have to face a great goaltending performance, and it's something that we've come to know with Michigan State, and it's fun. Pagula Ice Arena is always so much fun. It's always a blast. And then when we have Big Ten teams coming here, it's just a little extra special. So we know it's going to be a lot of fun, and we certainly know we're going to have to face an excellent goaltender.
And by the way, the Teddy Bear Toss is also going to take place on Saturday. I want to point that out to everybody because that's going to be benefiting Thon. So that's going to be very important. I know.
Yeah,
it's,
that's the correct thing.
Yeah, exactly. Great thing. I know that you want to concentrate on you. Michigan State, though, does have a balanced attack. When a team is balanced across the board, how do you then have to counter that on your side? Because sometimes there isn't a, quote, guy to lock in on or a line to lock in on.
Yeah, well, we actually try to focus really based on us. And unless there's something really special on the other side, we really try to just concentrate on our own tempo. And I think that's one of the strengths of our team is that we're deep. We have four lines that roll. We have three sets of D, and we want to play at our tempo. So sometimes when you focus on one line or one individual or one D pairing from the other team, it can take you out of that tempo. And our goal is to just play our best game. And certainly there's set aspects, whether it's a power play or faceoff, that we really have to be aware of. But we're going to really try play at our tempo and hopefully make them worry about us.
When you have a quarterback or a point guard, they can set a tempo on the floor. I watched Shep Garner, for example, last night set a tempo on the floor. You're constantly changing lines and, of course, defense combinations. Are there a couple of guys that you look for on each one of those units that you feel are your tempo setters that set the tone on the ice for you and the tempo that you're playing at?
Yeah, I think when you talk about quarterbacks or point guards, when you talk about our hockey team, there's certain defensemen that I think really establish themselves that way. Luke Juha is definitely one of them. When he's on the ice, he controls the play. He has the puck more than anybody else. He dictates at what pace we're going to play. We're going to move up the ice and who's going to get it. I think actually Kevin Kerr is a great example of that, even though he's a freshman. Eric Audio does that extremely well. I think that's something that you're going to see out of Vince Pedry. So really those offensive defensemen, the defensemen that really excel at moving the pucks are the guys that really do control the game. And if you look at the NHL level, all the best teams have someone like that. Duncan Keith jumps out immediately from Chicago. And I think every good hockey team has a quarterback or a point guard.
Yeah, he and Duncan Keith, no one sets the tone and tempo better than he does.
That's right.
Nobody does. And he controls. It seems like he controls from the goal line up to the opposite blue line. Fair enough?
Yeah, he controls the whole ice. He really does. And really good defensemen do that. I think Victor Hedman's another that was playing in Chicago from Tampa is excellent. And with L.A. and their success, I mean, Drew Doughty is that guy as well. I think teams – and, Nick Lidstrom for years was that guy with Detroit and their Stanley Cup teams. And really, the elite teams have a great quarterback or a great point guard.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Dennis Popfan, Bobby Orr, whatever. You've got to have a guy that controls that kind of tempo for you. 7 o'clock coming up tomorrow night, 3 o'clock on Saturday with Michigan State. Best of luck, Coach. It's always great to talk with you.
Hey, Steve, thanks very much. I hope I appreciate being on. Thanks.
Guy Gadowski, Penn State men's ice hockey coach. Hard news out of Pitt. Very, very hard news. James Conner, the outstanding running back for Pitt, who was the ACC Offensive Player of the Year last year, announced today it's cancer. He had missed this season, most of it because of a torn MCL. He has stage 2 Hodgkin lymphoma. He has tumors in his neck and his chest. So, you want to root for anybody tonight?
you root for Pitt's James Conner. Jack Ham met him at a golf tournament in the spring. And Jack called me and he said, Steve, he is an unbelievably great kid. Hard news. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in, when are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question? And Phil writes in, will people buying food with Wilkes-Barre is our next stop. Anthony, the award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit pamatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and pamatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by pamatters.com today.